Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Welcome to This Week in the Hawks, episode 19. My name is Graham, as of course, and yes, today is the day. It is Game 6, Hawks-Wizards, elimination game for the Hawks after they dropped Game 5 in DC on Wednesday in difficult circumstances, but 103-99 was the final result of that game. Yeah, we just happened straight into things today because It's now or never for the Hawks. It really is. This is it. This could be it. Down 3-2. We've seen both road teams who won Game 5, being the Spurs and the Raptors, come into the opposing building and win Game 6 to close off that series. So now it's the Hawks' turn. Are they going to follow the trend, or are they going to push this to a Game 7? Of the evidence that we've seen so far in this series, it seems like it'll go 7. And no team has won in their own building, and the Wizards have not looked like winning a game in Atlanta, whereas the Hawks, at least twice, have looked like as if they could win a game, but just haven't due to various different things that we'll get to for Game 5s anyways. But, gosh, I would love to be at Phillips Arena tonight. It's going to be, well, I'm hearing that there's going to be even more traffic issues than usual because of some things going on. So hopefully people make it out for the game, because I know in Washington for Game 5 they want fans to be there early. I believe they offered like $5 food concession stands kind of thing. I'm not familiar with arena talk, so they're in arena cuisine. It's like Burger King or something, I don't know. I'm not familiar with it, but like, just to encourage people to show up early. I believe the Rockets for Game 5, they won. I think they had like $1 beers from a certain, and again for the Wizards, like, it's like, so you had $5 concession stands for a certain amount of time, hats 50% off from a certain time, just to get fans there early. I know Houston did the same with drinks from a certain time to get their fans in early as well. So hopefully the Hawks will be, because it's always been a problem. I remember last year in the playoffs, I think it was Game 5, that, you know, tip off comes and you look around, it's like, oh, like, not very many people in a lot of empty seats around Phillips. I know it's been an issue this season as well, so it'd be nice if they were able to get in nice and early, get behind this team from the off, because it was quite good in Game 4. I believe this was a 6 o'clock start. No, that's not correct. I can't remember what it was for game four, but the point was that the fans were there early and they were loud and they were with the Hawks from the beginning, whereas it only took until, I don't know, maybe the second or third quarter for the Wizards for everyone to get in and kind of get into the game. The Hawks really use that energy lift from the home crowd, especially in an elimination game. So that would be nice, but look, we'll have to wait and see. I know traffic more so than usual is an issue in Atlanta, so hopefully people get out nice and early to the game, support the team. But kind of let's take a look back at Game 5 right quick before we do kind of more of setting of the table as such for Game 6. It was a rough one, a rough loss, 103-99 to the Wizards. Just a very strange game. I guess first things first, this is a bad loss, but it's only bad because the Hawks are now 3-2 down and facing elimination. Not so much for their performance. They actually played a very decent game on the road for that matter, and were in with a shout to win this game. A couple occasions they came back from, they were down, I think they were down by 9 in the fourth quarter there, and you know, a Prince dunk in transition got them within 2 points with 2:52 or so left in the fourth. And the Wizards went up by 5, and then Dennis Schroeder's 3 brought it in. I think it was 101-99, within 2 points with just over a minute left as well. The Hawks were there in this game for the taking, but unfortunately they got a couple of things went wrong. I will start with this first. The officiating in this game was awful. Let's be honest, it was not great for both sides. I'll start with the Wizards. Just more so that the factor went both ways. John Wall was called for a charge, I think, in the first half, for a fairly questionable charge call, let's be honest. So he gets the charge call for that, and then I think the exact same play happens later on in the first half, and he gets the blocking foul, and I think it's an and one as well. So, just not that consistency wasn't really there. And then, especially, oh, we'll get to this. Paul Millsap got hosed. He really did. Most of this game, he was getting these, not getting the calls. I'm looking at one here from the fourth quarter. It's like 7 minutes left, and Marcin Gortat gets a hook in Millsap's arm as Millsap goes up to shoot it. Gortat moves the arm away. An incredible fadeaway shot from Millsap that goes in, but of course his hands are in the air. It's like, where's the foul? Where's the foul? Because it was clearly a foul, and the replay showed that it was a foul. But that was with 7 minutes left, so you know what? You could. It's not as it's not as big as some of these ones down here. Let's fast forward to a minute 39 or ish 37, and off a switch, Paul Millsap is taking Bradley Beal inside, hits him with a spin move, and Bradley Beal gets a lot of him, makes a lot of contact. No foul is called. I think they give him a block or a steal. I'm not too sure which they gave him. But straight away, Bud and Millsap are absolutely furious. Like, I've never seen both of them kind of as angry as that at the same time, especially Millsap. And then, with 40 seconds left or so, Marcin Gortat gets Millsap, make a contact with him on a Millsap layup attempt. After, and Millsap goes down the ground, doesn't get the call, and the Wizards go the other way, where Marcin Gortat commits a very not a moving screen. Let's just say what it is. It's a moving screen on Tim Hardaway Jr. Not on the first contact, but the second one, the kind of the one that Hardaway kind of well, like the one that basically got all the space he needed to fire that long two, and that put the Wizards up by four, 103-99, which was the end score in the end. And then, so that was that, and then the Hawks. They missed the shot, but then they're down by four, 30-something seconds left. They decide not to foul, which and they can so they can ba so the Wizards can basically take the clock down to basically like 12 seconds or so, without if they run all the clock, which they do, the Wizards get the rebound. Gortat then decides to shoot the ball again, that misses, and then the Hawks take far, far too long to. Do anything really, and of course they're already down by four, so they gotta do something quick. Or they don't do something quick, a timeout isn't called, and it ends up with Tim Hardaway Jr. taking a three with like 3 seconds left, and it misses, and that was it, just like that. It was quite quick. We'll start with the refs, the calls, and the last 2 minute report. So the last 2 minute report came out yesterday. The only one. I'm sorry, there was two incorrect calls that kind of mattered. They did say the one with Gortat with 41 seconds left on Millsap was a foul, but it wasn't called. Great consolation. And then Bazemore, when Gortat grabbed that rebound, Bazemore shoved him. It wasn't called. But the big one was that the moving screen was a correct known call. They said that contact was marginal. Marginal contact. I don't know. I could try and reason and rationalize with it, but there's I can't. I don't understand that. And then the other one, the one that I, because most people kind of pick that screen as like, well, what the hell's going on here? Why isn't that a foul? The one I picked was the one I was quite angry over was the Beal one on Millsap, where it's so. Damn clear what the hell just happened. Like he's got all of his arm, absolutely no doubt about it. And then the last 2 minute report came out and said that was the correct call, correct no call, excuse me, and that quote contact was incidental. Incidental. Now they're saying it was incidental once that he they had support like they once they said that he got the deflection, but I think that's absolutely nonsense. So. Not great. Obviously, these don't do anything for the Hawks now. I should point you in the direction of Robert, aka Hawks Fanatic, on Twitter, who did a piece up a good while ago actually about kind of the last 2 minute report and basically how it's they basically just the correct no cause by far the most how would you say the most correct decision as such. I guess is all I'm trying to say. So I'd and that's on Peachtree Hoop, so I'd recommend checking that out. But it's so there's that. Then there's the Hawks' decision. Again, like well, just before we do that, I don't like being critical of refs. I do not envy their job. It's a thankless and hard job. But and you know, I will always usually say if you lose a game and the referee's decision is plays a heavy factor in either way you've won or lost a game. Usually you've lost the game because not because of a one call, but because of like something like I don't know, you turned the ball over 20 times and it led to 19 turnover points, or you gave up 15 offensive rebounds. You know, there's other reasons you don't lose a call. You don't lose a game on one or two calls. That said, the calls that the Hawks should have gotten would have really mattered here. One of them, you know, the chance to kind of tie it at least. So it's unfortunate, and I don't normally budge from that, but the Hawks got hosed in this game from the officials, and that's unfortunate. But look, the Hawks are to blame themselves. I mean, they didn't execute great down the stretch, especially you know their decisions to not foul with that time left in the very late in the fourth there. I understand that once you get the rebound, it's not uncommon for teams to not call a timeout if they have one and just go and see what you can get in transition with the defense scrambling. But it was a quite clear fairly quickly as such that the Hawks weren't going to get much in transition. So in that instance, maybe a timeout should have been called. But because also you stop the clock with 10 seconds left, you can get a quick two, and the Hawks are quite good at those. So you take your chances and just play the foul shooting game. At least it would be better than what they actually went with in the end. But look, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You know, coulda, woulda, shoulda. The fact of the matter is, the Hawks are down 3-2, and they're heading back to Atlanta tonight for Game 6. A couple of things from the box score. Dennis Schröder had a great game, 29 points, 10 of 18 from the field, 5 of 6 from 3. I think it was the biggest shock to everyone. He just had a go. It was just one of those nights for Dennis. And 11 assists, one turnover. I've been critical of Dennis for pretty much most of this year, but yeah, he's been good in these playoffs. He really has been. He's really taken his game up a notch, and the turnovers have not been a problem. I do believe I don't have that. I can't confirm this in front of me, but I do believe that he's had less total turnovers than John Wall in this series. I can't confirm that, but I'm almost certain that's the case. Paul Millsap, 21 points, 6 free throw attempts. As we've discussed, should have been a lot more. And speaking of that, I don't understand how John Wall can get to the line only one time in this game, and Millsap only 6 times, and yet Otto Porter can go to the line 10 times. Porter had 17 points, 3 of 4 from the field, 9 of 10 from the line. Definitely his best game of the series, but I do not understand that. It doesn't make any sense to me. And unfortunately for the Hawks, you know, Dwight and Bayes had great game fours. They had 16 points. Bayes had 7 assists to go with that, but they couldn't do anything in this game. Howard only 5 points from 2 of 3 from the field, 1 of 4 from the free throw line. Not great. Bazemore, but you know, Howard does other things. You know, he helps lock down the paint a bit. Unfortunately, so he had more of an impact, I would say, in this game than Bazemore did. Bazemore had 6 points on 3 of 12 shooting, 0 of 5 from 3. Ugh. Just a bad time for both those guys to go missing in this series, especially in a game five. So that was, you know, Bayes, you know, he leads that bench unit in the playoffs, and that was an area that the Hawks lost in game five, an area that they should be winning in this series. The Wizards bench outscored them 26 to 19. Mostly coming from Bojan Bogdanovic's 14. Bogdanovic has kind of quietly come to life in this series and scored in double digits in the last 3 games here. Still woeful on defense, but he's come alive a little bit. 4-7 from the field, 2-3 from behind the arc, and 4-6 from the line. Basically carried that bench because, you know, Jason Smith at 5 points, Oubre 5 points, and Jennings 2 points. So It was unfortunate. The Hawks bench couldn't really do anything. You know, Ilyasova struggled again in this. Yes, he hasn't had a great series, Ilyasova. It's been unfortunate. But, you know, 2 points, 1 of 6 from the field. Dunleavy had 5 points, didn't play a whole lot of minutes. Muscala had 4 points. And Jose Calderon couldn't really follow on his strong game 4. I guess it would have been very tough too, but 2 points in 10 minutes for Jose there. You gotta give Wizards credit, you know, they did play a good game at home. Bradley Beal was very good, 27 points, 11 of 22 shooting. Again, struggling from 3, 1 of 9. That's encouraging for the Hawks. They've kind of really taken that away from him. John Wall had 20 points in this game, Porter at 17, like we mentioned. But the Wizards did a great job of taking care of the ball. Only 7 total turnovers in this game for the Wizards. And the Hawks had 11, which isn't, again, by their standards, very good. So it's unfortunate. Yeah, the both teams took care of the ball very well. 23 assists for the Hawks, but unfortunately, 20 fast break points for the Wizards didn't help in this case. Not much else to say about this game, really. It was interesting that the Wizards. It was interesting that the Wizards kind of, their one of their game 5 adjustments was to kind of, sometimes double Millsap on the block, kind of make him uncomfortable, and it resulted in a few a turnover or two and the such, but that was an interesting adjustment that they made because kind of he was kind of quite comfortable on the block, and the Wizards, I think that was a good decision to kind of send Morris or not Morris, send like Wall or Beal or someone over to bother Millsap a little bit, kind of take away that comfort a little bit on the block. Didn't help much. Well, it did help much. It created a few. I think it did create two, at least two turnovers. So you have to say that was successful, but. Interesting what the Hawks will do for game 6 and what are the keys for game 6? Well, I think first of all, bench has to be better. I do think they win this game if they have some help from the bench. That would help. It would help to have another good Dwight Howard game, which is possible at home. I do believe he in particular, I think, feeds off the home crowd probably the most on this team, I would say. And Baze is probably next in line for that. Because we've seen Millsap and Schroeder, these guys are capable of picking it up on the road. But I think guys like Bazemore and Howard just need a little bit more encouragement at home. So I think being at home will help them. Torian Prince, Tim Hardaway Jr. Now they've been decent. Oh, thank you. That's what I meant to say. Why is Tim Hardaway Jr. still guarding Bradley Beal in Game 5? Oh my goodness, why? He has Seth Lowe dying on the bench. And you're guarding Bradley Beal with Tim Hardaway Jr. I do not understand, but look, Bud's the coach, I'm not, so I'll only question it to a certain degree. But I think some people have just given up asking, like, why Seth Lowe isn't playing. He's just, it is what it is now in this series, so it's unfortunate. But at least Prince has given the Hawks good production. Another double-digit scoring outing for Prince, 10 points there. I believe actually, speaking of which, I think he's actually the first rookie to score in double digits in his first 5 playoff games since Tony Parker. I believe is the stat I saw, which is pretty impressive, all things considered. But so said enough for Game 6. Hawks need to continue to do what they did in Game 5 and keep down the turnovers, move the ball, and they did that well in Game 4 and 5 for that matter. Yeah, just I think if they literally played the way they did in game five, and just have a little bit more help from the bench and you know this Dwight and the such, they're in a great position, Atlanta, to take game 6, because again the Wizards have not looked great in on the road, and the Hawks have been more likely the team to take a game on the road than the Wizards. So it's I think there's a lot of reason of optimism for the Hawks in this game. And I didn't think I'd be saying that, I have to say, but it's I think there is a genuine belief that the Hawks can beat this team, you know, because if you win game 6, you go back to DC for game 7, and we know what game 7s, anything is in the air, anything is possible. So you literally never, I mean, swing it back a couple of years, 2013, the Bulls game 7 in Brooklyn, the Bulls without Derrick Rose, Luol Deng, I believe Nate Robinson is out as well. No, it's Kirk Heinrich actually, against I think it was a fully strength Nets team. So you've got like Joe Johnson, you've got Deron Williams, Brook Lopez, Reggie Evans, Gerald Wallace, Chris Humphries, I think, is in the mix there as well. Like, you would expect the Nets to crush the Bulls at home in a game seven as when they're shorthanded, because I know they had the flu going around the Bulls at that time. But yeah, Bulls come in there, they upset the Nets, and they take the series. So you just never know when you get to a game seven situation how it's going to go down. But you know, first things first, take care of business tonight, as they have done all series, the Hawks, and they, you know, roll a dice, see what happens. That's going to do it, I think, for this week in the Hawks. A brief enough update for you. It doesn't need to be long, because we last spoke a few days ago. So that's going to do it. If you enjoyed, consider giving a retweet. I'd appreciate that. And, you know, you can check out content on hawkshoop.com. I know Eric Yeboah was over there in DC doing good work. And, you know, got other stuff going on myself. Avery, yes. Take care and enjoy Game 6.